welcome to the Left Doors Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri here in the GR studios. What's going on, everyone? Thanks for listening.
What's
as
up?
Always, on demand audio. Everything that we're looking at here, it's trade week, right, Frank?
Yeah.
It's NHL trade deadline pod show. There's
Monday.
A trade deadline coming up.
Monday.
All right.
The deadline is Monday, I believe, at 4, I want to say.
4? Isn't it usually at 3?
3 or 4, typically.
I'm gonna move to confirm, but you start talking.
Well, no, it's usually around that time. You know, this is the time where you preview it. You know, you try to figure out, okay, well, first off, who's on the trade bait list? Well, TSN has that article up that usually around the beginning of the year.
Hang on, before you go on,
yeah,
everyone that listens to this, and we are going to plug this shamelessly. Now that it is official as a WGR podcast with its own channel,
yep,
on demand. So, look, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to tweet it out every day. Now that I'm reminded of it, look out for fake accounts. Don't get got.
Please, don't get got.
Always get more than you get got. Okay.
If you see reports of a trade, and this goes in hockey, this goes in football, this goes in baseball, in basketball, any sport that has trades where players are moved from one team to another, or even signings too, make sure that the account that tweeted it is verified or is at least a trustable source. Because there are accounts that are not verified but still get things right. That still put out the facts. There are accounts. But really, find the ones that are verified. Because you see it every year where there's a fake Bob McKenzie account for TSN. A fake Pierre LeBrun is a huge one. A fake Darren Dreger. Those are usually the top three for hockey. And you see them come up with ridiculous trades.
Here's the thing.
Ones that
sometimes it's not ridiculous trades, but believable within the realm.
That's
where you get got.
Yeah.
When there's ridiculous ones, you go ahead and look back at it and go, hang on, there's no way Jonathan Toews is getting traded right now.
Well, I'm not saying ridiculous.
I know, but
going into for this year, though, you can say ridiculous in terms of like Erik Karlsson getting moved, John Tavares getting moved.
Now, here's the problem with the mention of Erik Karlsson. This year, that's not ridiculous. The Senators are that stupid.
Right.
They are stupid.
Right.
Yet Pierre Dorion got extended.
It's ridiculous. But in this case, it would be a ridiculous trade because they're not going to get what they want for him.
This is going to sound terrible, by the way.
But it's believable as well.
This is going to sound terrible when I say this.
What?
So I'm going to preface it by saying that I'm going to try to avoid making this sound terrible.
Okay.
First off, rest in peace to Brian Murray.
Yes.
Second off, the Senators could have really used him to not have any health issues and eventually pass away.
He knew how to run that franchise.
He was a damn good GM.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate
that... He was a really good coach, too.
Yeah. And from everything that I read, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
And dang it, if you're a Sens fan, you're just thinking to yourself right now, why couldn't that man keep on keeping on?
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the loss of life, but also because, dang it, your team is in shambles.
Yeah.
Because if there's one fan base that... You know what? I'm going to say, if there's two fan bases that can feel worse than the Sabres, and we can easily go ahead and agree with each other on that, it's the Coyotes and the Senators. Those teams are a mess.
Yeah. Huge mess.
I mean, at least Arizona has Clayton Keller. And then what do you got if you're Ottawa? I mean, there's Colin White.
In terms of the prospect line. Colin White's good. Thomas Chabot's good.
Ah, yes, Thomas Chabot. But even he's struggled with his NHL time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you're on a bad team. Not much else, really.
And yet Arizona, for some reason, is thinking about trading Max Domi.
Yeah. And they may
Sabres might want to get on that.
Depends on price.
I know, but
it's
going to
be a lot.
Yeah. It's a 22-year-old restricted free agent.
Yeah. 30 points this year in 59 games. That's not bad.
It's point
not,
every other game.
Yeah.
And last year he was very promising.
He's an RFA at the end of the year.
And last year was very promising.
Yeah. But he's a very promising player.
But the fact that Arizona put him on the trading block, it's interesting. Peak your ears there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
you're getting a guy with a lot of upside.
Buffalo. Evander Kane, obviously.
He's gone.
He's going to be gone. The question, though, is what's he going to fetch? Because the market has suddenly become a little more saturated from, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Michael Grabner, Rick Nash, both from the Rangers, in this mix. Patrick Maroon is in the mix. Thomas Vanek is in the mix.
Ottawa's also looking to trade, besides Mike Eric Carlson, Mike Hoffman. You have Derek Brassard as well.
Well, Brassard's more center, so I wouldn't really worry about him in terms of Kane.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, here's the strangest thing with Kane.
Pacioretty in Montreal. Yeah.
Now, here's the strangest thing with Kane. He's the youngest of the group.
Yeah.
At 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a question of how much can you get for him.
He's also the one that's going to get paid the most in free agency.
He's also the one that might be the most likely to leave for free agency.
Exactly.
So you are getting a true rental.
Yeah.
Just like I would say with Rick Nash. I mean, a team's not going to sign Rick Nash crazy long term.
No.
Mike Hoffman has 2 years left on his term, so that price is going to be a little different. It's a different realm.
Yeah.
Michael Grabner costs only $1.65 million.
He's going to fetch. He's going to fetch something nice.
While the Sabres would no doubt probably retain half the salary on Evander Kane for the rest of the season.
Or at least something of it. They will. Yes.
I would say 50%. You're not cash strapped. You're not making a run.
Yeah.
Why not keep half the salary?
Oh, it depends. There's always various factors. You know, sometimes you'll see it where a guy has like a $6 million cap hit, and he's going to be a UFA or any kind of cap hit, really, and the team retains like 10% or 20%. But I would predict the Sabres will retain half.
Yeah, because you can.
Because you can.
Not only because you can, but you're not going anywhere.
Detroit.
And the contract's off your hands at the end of the year.
Detroit retained half of Mrazek's salary after they traded him to Philly.
Yeah. So it's...
Which, by the way, that Detroit got for...
Conditional fourth in 2018, a conditional third in 2019.
Probably if the Sabres are trading Robin Leonard, it's probably going to be the same thing.
I would say it's a little more promising because Leonard has a better track record.
His numbers are slightly better than Mrazek's.
I would say he's certainly
not
more consistent.
By much.
I would say he's more consistent.
It's more consistent, and Mrazek has definitely regressed based on what his first couple of years were. But if the Sabres are trading Robin Leonard, it's going to be similar.
I mean, you could see instead of those two conditional picks, maybe a conditional second.
I would say a conditional third, probably.
Conditional third this year, for example?
That could turn into a second.
On a very easy condition, for example.
Like playoff performance or re-signing.
Yes.
Like what Mrazek's is. Mrazek's is just a lot of conditions on that.
Look at all of them.
Basically, to make it easy... The worst Detroit is going to get is a fourth-round pick this year. That's the worst. And that's based on if Philly misses the playoffs and they don't re-sign Mrazek, then Detroit only gets a fourth-round pick for him. But if they make the playoffs and Mrazek wins games for them, then that the fourth-round pick can turn into a third. And if they re-sign Mrazek... that third round pick can turn into a second.
So they can get a second.
And they can get that third round pick if Philly makes the conference finals.
All right. We won't go that crazy because the Metro
is something like that. But it's stuff like that.
And that's where they got to get through is the meat of that division.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all based on Mrazek playing, winning games, and if Philly going far in the playoffs.
How loaded is the Eastern Conference this year? Now that I think about it, because Tampa's amazing. Boston's just as good. Toronto's somehow still keeping pace. The Metro...
Toronto's the hottest team.
Yeah. And then you look at the Metro where nobody's dead.
Yeah. The East is stacked.
The East is pretty loaded, and there's going to be a good team that's on the outside looking in from that division.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be a team that was pretty darn good, but at this point you can't even really blame the playoff format because the best teams are being the best teams.
Yeah,
because the Atlantic is a disaster.
Yeah, yeah. After the top three.
Yeah, that's the one way where the weird playoff seedings isn't really going to bite anyone there. It's going to bite a team in the West.
Yeah. Right now, Tampa, Boston, Toronto, all separated by 4 points, by the way.
Jeez.
Is the top three in the Atlantic. And then the next best team is Florida, who's at 58 points.
I'm going to guess that's not good.
That's not good. Washington, Pittsburgh, Philly, separated by 3 points, lead the way in the Metro. And then the two wildcard teams are New Jersey at 70 points and Columbus at 65. And then you got teams like Carolina and the New York Islanders who are at 64. And then the Rangers are have already basically waved the white flag for the year. They're at 59. They are last in the Metro, 59 points, 1 point ahead of Florida.
Wait, who is this again?
Sorry. The Rangers. The Rangers are last in the Metro.
And they
are the only team.
And they have willingly said.
They have already waved the white flag.
Yeah. They've waved the white flag. The team is playing like they've waved the white flag. And they're going to unload.
Yeah. They've already given up. But they're still ahead of five teams.
All right. So, Frank, you're the hockey guy.
That's just, of
the two of us, you are the hockey guy.
Yes.
You dig deeper into that sort of stuff. And whereas I dig deeper into the prospects of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, on a return for Evander Kane, what kind of prospects could you be looking out for?
It all depends on the teams.
Yeah.
We haven't really heard any teams. Teams that I'm thinking of would be Calgary, Nashville, although I think Nashville's kind of taken themselves out of it.
Still, to get a guy to fill the top nine and make them truly dangerous.
Well, we'll talk about that. Hang on. But you have Calgary, Nashville, and I said Nashville will probably take out. I look at a team like Dallas.
St. Louis?
Yes, St. Louis as well.
A lot of the West.
Vegas might be an option.
But what can you get from a team that's fresh and doesn't have much of a prospect line?
Well, let me continue on with some teams. Philly could still be an option, but I think Philly and Nashville are going to stay put at where they are. So it's really West teams that are looking to load up because the East has been really good.
Well, that and, I mean, you can...
You don't really want to... I mean, if you're trading a rental player, it doesn't really matter where you trade them.
I was going to say, if you trade them to one of those teams in the Metro, well, they could give you something.
You could do that.
Philly was a very popular one.
Philly's interesting, but I think...
I
think with the Mrazek trade, I think they're not going to make another move. If they do, it's going to be for more depth. I don't think it's going to be for a guy who can immediately fit in your top six or in your top nine. Pittsburgh, I would think, would be an option, but I don't think they're going to do it because, one, Kane's going to cost a lot. Two, they're looking for more bottom six speed. So I look at Michael Grabner as a much better option for Pittsburgh.
I mean, Evander Kane's speedy.
Yeah, but Michael Grabner is also cheaper.
You know, I was going to say he's not Michael Grabner speed because that dude is speed.
Yeah.
But
I would say
Evander Kane's very fast.
Yeah. I would say Grabner is more of a fit for Pittsburgh because they could use another speedy player for their bottom six. But Kane, I would say, is going to get traded out west.
All right. So.
Just based on what teams are looking for. I mean, Winnipeg might be an option as well.
No.
I doubt it. I don't think
so. No way.
But Winnipeg is an option.
They shipped him off from there.
I know. They're not going to do it.
They threw his trash in the shower.
Winnipeg actually has been looking more at Mike Hoffman.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
For Kane.
Winnipeg is a team that you can write off.
If I had to take a guess as to where Kane will be traded, however, St. Louis is the team I would say.
Okay. So let's look into St. Louis a little bit here.
I'm going to go on their cap-friendly page.
Yeah, I'm on there right now. Yeah. And you see, here's the difference between you and me. I don't know many of these guys.
Now, the return.
The return that you're looking at. Probably.
Here's the thing. Now, remember this with St. Louis. They don't have a first-round pick.
So that means you're asking for a second and a good prospect at that point.
You're probably asking for a second and another conditional pick or a first next year.
Right.
So you got that, and you're probably going to want Do you get a? You probably want a roster player back.
Question
to fill Kane's spot.
If I take a third round pick and start having the stones to ask for a guy that's on long term injured reserve like Robbie Fabbri, is there a chance at that?
I wouldn't do it.
I would.
Robbie Fabbri is really good, but we don't know what he's going to be when he actually recovers and starts playing again.
Right.
So I would rather not take that chance.
Okay.
And I think St. Louis can take that chance with him. I would say take a guy like Scotty Upshaw because he's a UFA at the end of the year and he could just fill right in the roster spot and you don't have to call anybody up from Rochester.
Okay.
So let's say you do that. Let's say you get a second round pick and let's say a conditional third round pick next year based on if Kane re-signs.
And then what's the big piece in the deal?
Jordan Kyrou.
Help me out. Jordan Kyrou, 19 years old, a center.
Yes.
He's in junior.
Playing in juniors right now. He's a center. He's a center winger. He played wing mainly for Canada in the World Juniors in Buffalo.
Where I wish Brayton was in the in the building right now still.
So here, let's look into Jordan Kyrou. Second
drafted,
round pick.
Yeah, 2016. 35th overall.
Yep. His draft year, 2015-16, played for the Sarnia Sting, 65 games, 51 points, solid.
Wouldn't that mean we had a shot at him?
I mean, yeah, we did.
Second round?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You got Rasmus Asplund, which is still a really good pick.
Right, the Murray trade.
Yeah. But 16-17, first year in juniors. Oh. Or his third year in juniors. 94 points,
I'm
66
looking at it,
games.
And this year he's blowing that out of the water.
Yes. And he looked fantastic. For Canada.
In the World Juniors, he had 10 points in seven games.
Yep.
That's under
the
radar.
He had a great tournament.
And as your point of reference, Mittelstadt led the tournament with 11.
Yeah.
That went under the radar, huh?
Yeah. So Jordan Kyrou right away is a huge option. Would be a huge get for the Sabres for
especially
Canada.
Since St. Louis doesn't have a first round pick.
Yeah. Another option for the Sabres. Would be, actually, I have two other options for
okay.
the Sabres.
Well,
one.
There's probably plenty of options.
Two big ones, I would say. Robert Thomas, who was St. Louis's first round pick in 2017. Right now, playing for the London Knights. Playing for the Hamilton Bulldogs of the OHL. Played for London. Point of game last season when he was drafted. And right now, he's at 58 points in 39 games.
Oh, no.
In the OHL.
Oh, no.
And he was also on Team Canada. And yeah, he was solid. He was very good. 6.7 games.
Frank, I'm not listening right now.
You're not listening?
I'm not listening right
now. Why are you not listening?
Because I saw a tweet from Travis Yost.
What happened?
Tampa Bay continuing to aggressively pursue an Erik Karlsson trade.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh, no.
So what does that mean? They're talking to Ottawa about Erik Karlsson. That's what they're doing right now.
Oh God.
Here's the thing.
Oh God.
That doesn't mean that they're getting Karlsson.
I know.
That means that they're exploring the option. They're talking to
He says aggressively. Like
yeah,
they're
that
talking.
Means they're talking.
Deals obviously break down in talks. That's something that happens. But the fact that Tampa is heavy in on this means that we could be seeing a team with Erik Karlsson and Victor Hedman as the top pairing for a couple of years there.
Assuming Karlsson resigns in Tampa because he is a free agent next year.
Like, he's not a UFA, is he?
Mm-hmm. He's a UFA next year. That's why people are talking about trading Karlsson. Because he's apparently
No. He's not a UFA this year.
No, next year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For 2 years, Tampa could have
for at least one full year.
For two postseasons, Tampa could have Karlsson Hedman top pair.
Yeah.
Just give him a cup.
And then you add in Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov and Andre Vasilevsky's your goalie.
Brayden Point has been playing well. Everyone's
Brayden
playing
Point's
well.
Awesome. By
you
the way.
You have Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson there that are vastly underrated.
Here's the thing, though.
Cap space is a big
issue.
Cap space
and what is Tampa giving up? if Ottawa is trading Carlson to Tampa,
dude, I'm not.
They have to get Sergachev.
I was gonna say, I'm not gonna lie. I would give them Sergachev if it meant two cups. Because Carlson is also still only 27. It's not like he's going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. So you would have to include Sergachev and their first round pick this year. Is it a first round pick next year? Are you giving up two first round picks?
I'd go conditional. I'd probably try to.
Maybe a conditional second that turns into a first.
I'd finagle it to a conditional second. If they make the cup finals, it's a first.
Tampa did get Ryan Callahan and two first round picks for San Luis. So it could be something. It could be something like that. Maybe it's Sergachev and maybe it's a
first
guy
and
like
a conditional second.
No, maybe you're trading a roster forward too.
Tampa's got room. Tampa's got players.
Yeah,
Tampa is Tampa,
and they got some prospects coming up too.
Let's see.
Maybe you're doing Yanni Gourde.
Okay.
He's been good. He's got 20 goals this year. Maybe it's Yanni Gourde, Sergachev, and a first and a conditional second.
If you're bold for Ottawa, do you ask for Braden Point?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
But if you're Tampa, you know he's already producing for you.
If you're Tampa, you want him.
He's already your second line center. Here's the problem, though. Point and Sergachev, giving them up means you're giving up a player that's helping your playoff loaded team.
I wouldn't give up Point if I was Tampa.
I wouldn't give up Sergachev if I was Tampa.
I wouldn't give up Sergachev either, but you are getting Erik Karlsson. And this is probably an Erik Karlsson that wants to re-sign with you. You saw what Steve Yzerman was able to do with Steven Stamkos. Could he do the same thing with Karlsson? If he's confident that he can do the same thing with Karlsson and get him on a good contract
for
a long time...
Maybe the condition becomes something along the lines of Karlsson. The pick stays as a second if Karlsson leaves.
No, that's what I mean. That's like, if Karlsson re-signs with Tampa, it becomes a 2019 first. Yes. But if he doesn't re-sign in any way, like he gets traded again or he just leaves for free agency, it stays as a 2019 second.
Oh boy.
But remember, if Steve Yzerman is confident enough that he can re-sign Karlsson to a good team-friendly contract for a long time,
all right,
in Tampa, he will make that move.
Here's the big question I've got for you.
What's that?
There is, everything about Karlsson, those screams off-season trade.
Yeah.
Draft day trade.
Yeah.
So you'd have to kind of blow him out of the water with an offer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is no doubt one of the biggest things that you can look at, because if the Senators do deal Erik Karlsson, that's a game changer for a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. It is, because Drew Doughty is also a free agent at the same time Karlsson is. So is Olive Rackman-Larsson in Arizona. Drew Doughty more likely is going to re-sign with L.A. OEL, by the way... may get traded. He's going to be a prime candidate to be traded.
Honestly, if I'm the Coyotes, I owe it to the guy to trade him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's been on terrible teams most of his good playing career.
Mm-hmm.
The guy deserves it. I say this as a Sabres fan.
Yeah.
Hey, we may be saying that about Jack Eichel in a couple of years. Who knows?
Stop.
I mean, they got to get better.
So Yost tweet right after the Karlsson one. Any instance on Bobby Ryan's contract will likely require A, Ottawa to retain, B, a third team involved. So,
by the way,
Ottawa pretty much is only going to trade Erik Karlsson if a team will take Bobby Ryan.
And you want to know what that does? That lessens your capabilities of getting things in
return. That completely nullifies any reason to trade Erik Karlsson. Because if they can get rid of Bobby Ryan's contract, they would have a much easier time re-signing Karlsson. So why would you do it?
I don't think I'd understand.
It's weird.
It seems like Ottawa doesn't know what they're doing.
No.
Pierre Dorion doesn't know what he's doing.
No. Ottawa, as their cap space as of right now, is $1.5 million.
And I get that you need to shed some cap because your team is a disaster at this
point. They might be, yeah. They're possibly trading guys like Derek Brassard, Mike Hoffman. They might even trade Matt Duchene because he's a free agent next year as well.
Oh, my God. Giving up everything they did?
Yeah. Just like, all right, no more. And then you got Craig Anderson up in age. I don't know.
You know what they had in Ottawa for a pretty decent amount of time? They had Ben Bishop and Robin Leonard in their system.
Yeah.
And they got rid of both of them.
Yeah.
While Colin White's looking like a potential decent return, Corey Conacher was that was a hiccup.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa also, by the way, traded their first-round pick and second-round pick this year.
You better bet that they want a first for something right now.
Yeah. The first-round pick, however, was a conditional with the Duchene trade. If that pick is in the top 10, Ottawa keeps it, and Colorado gets their 2019 first-round pick.
All right, so it's a little lottery-protected, kind of, is what you're
just
saying.
Just top 10 protected.
Yeah. But again, it's
likely is going to happen. So Colorado's going to have two first-round picks next year.
To be fair, Ottawa, when they made that deal, they were like, we're getting Matt Duchene.
They thought that they could still...
We can keep ourselves in.
Well, by the way, the other two guys from St. Louis I'd love to see the Sabres get is Kim Costin, and I'd say Robert Thomas earlier. Kim Costin's the other guy. He was St. Louis's other first-round pick last season. And he is playing in... He's actually in the AHL right now. He's okay. He's fine.
So here's another team that... A little more on the lower key of things, but a team that I could suspect would want to give up a guy, or go and get a guy like Evander Kane. What about Dallas?
Yeah. I thought Dallas as an option, too, because they could use another scoring wing. I mean, with what they have already with Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and Alex Radulov. Go ahead and get another one.
Yeah, no, but like that's their top line.
Yeah. After that,
give Jason Spezza some help.
Yeah.
You can
get... Hansel's been great for a third line center.
Roddick Faxa's okay.
He's fine. Roussel's a fourth liner. And then you got a bunch of younger players.
You can want an established guy there.
Yeah.
And again, this still always will turn around and look into the question of, what are you getting? You know who they have.
You can easily get a couple picks, at least the first round.
You know what I'd immediately start my call with? And, it may be a haggling down from there. Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah. Esa Lindell.
Yeah, Esa Lindell. That's another promising player there.
Mm-hmm. Jason Dickinson.
God, wouldn't that be hilarious? Everyone hoping and praying that the Sabres could have gotten Miro Heiskanen.
And then they do.
And then they eventually do, and they get Casey Mittelstadt. That's the definition of having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
Buffalo, make it happen.
Although, if I'm the Sabres, any trade I make, I want to get prospects because they need a plethora of that.
That's what I'm saying. Heiskanen is a prospect.
That would be awesome. Dickinson, too, another prospect. He's been up and down with Dallas as well. That I mentioned Esa Lindell, but he's more of an established NHLer now, so I would rather probably not do that. But if you can get like Heiskanen and a pick for Kane, do it in a heartbeat. So I mentioned Nashville as another option. I don't think it's going to happen because it sounds like Nashville is going to sign their first round pick, their last year's first round pick, Eli Tolvanen, who is playing in the KHL right now and lighting it up as an 18-year-old.
In the K.
And it sounds like they're going to sign him to an entry-level contract, and he's going to join the team. And he essentially would be their trade deadline acquisition, and they don't have to give anything up to do it. So it sounds like they're going down that route.
Yeah, they're going to look to...
Tolvanen, let me tell you this. I wanted him so bad.
Yeah, and it looks like that's not going to happen.
And it's like not going to happen. Which is disappointing, but that's very smart for Nashville. Yeah, see, now Travis Yost, and actually, Travis Yost just tweeted about it, too.
And he brings up an interesting wrinkle that a lot of teams need to start thinking about again.
Yeah.
Expansion.
Yeah. Seattle.
Seattle. This is where I think Evander Kane becomes a little more useful with the terms of being a pure rental. Because not only that, John Tavares is a wrinkle that you have to think about as well. There are teams thinking that this guy is going to be ready to go to free agency. They may want to free up some cap. You want to know how you make a playoff run and free up the cap? Well, Evander Kane's got a nice whopping salary.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably help you out there. You know, Kane's got the $5.25 million cap hit. Say Buffalo keeps $2 million of it. That's less than half.
Yeah.
But that's 3.25 that goes off your books, and you still made a playoff run with Evander Kane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the tweet from Yost. The debate about Eli Tolvanen isn't about a trade. He won't be moved. It's rather about whether they should bring him up for the stretch run. Among other things, creates possible expansion difficulty with Seattle looming. Seattle's going to happen at some point. We just don't know when.
I'd say probably 2 years. The same timeline. The same timeline when Vegas was announced.
I can see that.
You know, when Vegas put their submission in, everyone thought, okay, 2 years from now. It's not going to be next year. It's going to be the year after that.
Yeah.
So not 2019. It's not going to be 2018, 2019, but 2019, 2020.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I can see that happening. And if that's the case, you've got a very interesting thing. So, Frank, let's play a game.
Okay, let's play a game.
Since it's on my mind. I know it's supposed to be deadline, but it's on my mind, and I got Cap Friendly in front of me.
Yeah.
What do you do about keeping? Because here's what you've got. You've got Eichel. You're probably keeping Reinhardt.
Yeah. Ristolainen.
We're still lining.
It all depends on too what the
automatic Kyle Poso.
Yep. Should he still be on the team 2 years from now?
He's got a no movement.
That's true, but you know, you never know what happens.
O'Reilly's
the same thing.
Here's a big one. Jason Pominville's no movement and modified no trade clause contract expires in 2019-2020.
But isn't he a UFA at the end of next year?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's the big one. You don't have to reserve a spot for him.
Yeah. So if you're going based off the roster right now, you got guys like Eichel, Reinhardt, O'Reilly, Oposo, Ristolainen, Scandella. Probably, you know, and then you got to look at who else is going to be up here.
If the guy is still here, whoever's leaving.
Olmark, if he's the starter 2 years from now, Olmark, potentially Mittelstadt.
Probably Casey Nelson.
Yeah, Casey Nelson too.
He's earning himself a
maybe
spot.
Maybe Brendan Gulley, potentially Nylander. You know, there's going to be a lot of options, and
you know who
it all depends on what the expansion rules are, because
Bettman said it's probably going to be the same.
So then if it's the same, then there's going to be a lot of options for the Sabres to do. There's going to be questions.
You know what I leave out there dangling on purpose? Zach Bogosian.
Should he still be on the team 2 years from now?
Should he still be on the team 2 years from now?
He doesn't have any no movement or no trade clauses in his contract.
Yeah, I would leave it open and say, hey, here's a nice chunk of salary that helps you get to the cap floor, he's a serviceable defenseman.
What about Jake McCabe? Assuming it's 2 years from now and it's the same rules, you're defense wise, you're probably looking at Scandella, Ristolainen, and probably Casey Nelson, because
this team still
assuming
has Matt Molson for another year on their contract.
But. Yeah. Because assuming they get a defenseman in the draft this year, he wouldn't be eligible to be have to be protected. He's automatic. It'd be like not having to protect Eichel or Reinhardt last year.
Yes.
So if
they
get a guy like Dahlin or even Adam Boqvist, then you wouldn't have to worry about protecting them. So that gives you another option. So yeah, probably, you know, Ristolainen and Scandella, but you know, you got Casey Nelson, potentially Brendan Gulley too.
All right, so here's my big question here with deadline. What are the chances that Sabres fans walk away disappointed this deadline? High? 50-50? Are we going to be surprised what Botchwell does? Or am I throwing too speculative of a question out here?
I think that's too speculative of a question because we don't know as of right now. I think everyone is expecting Kane to get traded. And then you got a majority of the fan base who wants Leonard traded.
Which does make sense.
But that's it. No one else is talking about Benoit Pouliot. No one else is talking. There has been very little talk about Georges. St. Louis has been a team that's been rumored to be interested in trading for Josh Georges.
Now, Josh Georges, Benoit Pouliot, I think they're guys that do get traded, but like for minor things. Like,
yeah. Pouliot, I could see getting traded for like a fourth round pick. Maybe it turns into a third.
Georges, I could see.
Georges like, probably. You know what? I wouldn't be shocked if Georges got traded for a third or fourth round pick.
I'm calling baloney on that. You know what I expect?
Mike Weber got a third round pick. Michael Kempe, who just got traded from Chicago to Washington, got a third round pick.
Are you saying that those players are worse than Josh Georges?
I'm saying they all based on what role they play, all pretty equal. So that can equal their value.
You know what? Here's my thing with Josh Georges. I suspect if he gets traded, I don't care what they get for him.
I don't care either.
I'm prepared for the Eric Fair trade that Toronto just did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm prepared for a 2020 seventh round.
Yeah.
Ryan Gates and I, we had this discussion, actually. And Ryan and I were basically talking about this sort of thing. Would you rather for Josh Georges, would you rather get a sixth or seventh round pick this year?
Or a third round pick
a couple of years down the road?
Yeah.
I would want that third round pick. Why? It's a little more valuable of capital.
Yeah. It is, but I totally see what Ryan is getting at with wanting a pick this year, because the Sabres, in terms of their prospects pool, in terms of the pool they have, they need quantity, and that quantity will come this year if you get more picks this year. They need to refill that pool quickly if they want any kind of turnaround probably next year or 2 to 3 years. So you want that quantity ASAP. So I could totally see why Ryan would say, I'd rather have a seventh round pick this year than a third round pick 2 years from now. But the third round pick, it's easily more valuable.
I see. All right.
That's the one thing that's been plaguing the Sabres for years is they traded picks away to get help now, but they didn't get the quality out of the picks they have already.
Thanks, Tim Murray.
And it can even go to Regier as well.
I know.
So
but at the big
gotta
time.
Get so you gotta get as many picks as you can and then hit on those picks.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. You got to hit on these picks, and that's where Jason Bouchard is really going to have his work cut out for him. It's not about this stuff necessarily as much at the trade deadline as it's going to be what are you going to do with what you get.
It's about how many picks you get, but it's more importantly what you do with them.
Yes. So.
So you want to get it? It's like you know we talk about this with football too. You want to get as many chances as you can to hit on good players, especially in later rounds.
Yes, but at the same time, my biggest thing really is going to be for this trade deadline. Don't do what Tim Murray did last year, which was fail to trade things.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's the only way.
You can't go ahead and say disappointment. You can't go ahead and say we didn't want to trade just to make a trade. That's not going to fly with anyone here.
No, not anymore.
It's not going to fly with anyone with what happened last year,
mm-hmm.
and it's certainly not going to fly with how bad this team has done in the standings this year.
Yeah.
You make trades just to make trades at this point.
Yeah.
Trade someone I don't suspect to get traded at this point with how bad the team has been.
Trade Johan Larsson.
I've got one for you. Victor Antipin. Mm-hmm. He's been scratched more times than not.
Yeah, I totally see that.
But he's a good offensive defenseman, and a team could get an RFA guy who they'd be able to retain rights of for the next season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, honestly, if I'm Antipin, I'm not liking my situation in Buffalo anyway.
True. I would say...
You're playing every other game.
I would say before Monday, maybe Bottrell... Maybe he's done it already. He's seeing where Antipin's mind's at right now.
Put some feelers out for him.
Yeah. But if Antipin's...
Did he play in the disaster of a game against Los Angeles?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
I'll look it up right now. I'm gonna look that up right now. When was that game?
Yeah, I remember all the reports.
That game was what, Saturday?
I remember all the reports. Yes.
Yeah.
The reports of how upset Bottrell was in the press box with the very, very disappointing showing from the team.
Yeah.
It's flat.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, you're looking at that and you're seeing how flat this team has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating.
Yep.
I don't know where you start with it. I don't know where it stops. You just want this team to actually start playing like they want to.
Yeah, you really do. Antipin did play.
Okay.
14-58, no points, even, plus minus, one shot. So
they didn't do anything necessarily. Didn't really do wrong.
Much. Yeah, didn't really do much. He played the least amount of the defensemen.
Yeah. But it seems like Phil Housley doesn't like having Victor Antipin playing, despite his game being what Phil Housley preaches.
Yeah, I don't know why. There has to be an in-the-house reason for it. Because when fans watch Antipin play, they like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does make, you know, some bad plays, but he there's a lot of positives with him that come with him. And there has to be a reason that he doesn't get a lot of playing time. Because this guy, on this defense right now, he should be at least a number four.
Yeah.
On this defense right now. He should be a number four, but he's a scratch. So there has to be something with maybe his attitude. Maybe he's just not happy here. Maybe he wants to go back to Russia. Maybe he thought making the move to North America was a bad idea for him. Maybe he misses his family, you know, and it just shows in the locker room.
Like, his reasoning was he wanted to play in the NHL.
Yeah, and
maybe he
everyone who makes that jump from Europe or Russia to the NHL is the same reason. But then when they actually do it and they're playing or and they're practicing, they realize that they become homesick.
Yeah,
that's the humanity part of it.
But now
they miss their family, they miss their friends.
My biggest thing is going to be if a team wants to try to sell themselves to Victor Antipin, I don't know how hard it's necessarily going to be.
It depends on if Antipin is willing to do that. His mind might be set to where he's not going to sign with any team in the summer and go back to Russia. Because we have seen that before, too.
We've seen that before, yes. But I think the guy would at least want to give it one more shot.
I think so. And he's young enough to where he could do that. But we don't know. It all depends on where Antipin's mind's at. And it's probably translated to the locker room. It's probably how he's perceived by his teammates. Maybe the rest of the team doesn't like him that much. I mean, we don't know. Because hockey has a way of just keeping most of this in-house. They keep it to themselves, you know, like the New England Patriots.
We saw that with Dmitry Kulikov, though, last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't get out all that often. It does. There are times where it does, but it not all the time. A lot of it is kept in-house. Like, and I just mentioned the Patriots. They rarely release anything related to that. The Leafs, the Maple Leafs, never do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if a player is unhappy with their situation where they're at, or if they just don't want to be there, you're not really going to see it. And it really only ever gets out, you know, after something happens. So we may know more about where Antipin was at this year in the summer.
Yep.
Based on what Antipin does. And it stinks because he's a great player. His ceiling is extremely high, even at 25.
I would like to see what he can do.
I love to see what he can do.
And there's not enough times where I get to do that. I don't get to see enough of him.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate.
It stinks. It's unfortunate, and that's the humanity part of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we talked about the NHL trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I want to go on a quick riff.
Okay.
We talked about it in length a little bit here. Frank got deep with some prospects. I'm mostly clueless. I just want to see players get traded. I don't even necessarily care what for. Like you said, the biggest defeat would be not trading Evander Kane. If you don't deal him.
He's the only guy I really want to see traded.
Now, the difference, though, between last year and this year is that last year you were kind of in a playoff race.
They were kind of there, but they were.
It took the bye week
there
to
was
finally
also, yeah,
put the dog down.
Last year, too, there was also nobody really big who could have been traded.
Yes, but
on the Kane level, like a top six. There was no top six forward that could have been traded. There was no top four defenseman.
But there was also nothing that they did to trade for.
Yeah,
and that was something that you saw and went, okay.
Yeah, nothing happened. Once the bye week happened, everyone expected the Sabres to sell, trade Cody Franzen, trade Kulikov, trade anybody else really.
Yeah,
and that didn't happen.
we'll see what happens. And again, keep your eyes and ears tuned and see what we've got.
Yeah.
Now,
you had a tangent.
It's not a tangent more than a disappointment.
I know
I'm sick of this. I'm sick of how USA Hockey continues to think that they need to just grind and grease their way to wins. You saw it with this latest one here with against Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And a frustrating power play where nobody was moving on a 4-on-3 on Olympic ice. I'm sorry, but you've got to move your freaking feet.
Yeah.
I may suck at hockey, and I've got photo evidence of that now. But even I know.
Yeah, that
part
was...
Part of a power play is making the move.
I'm pretty glad I didn't watch that because I had just... Last night, I just gotten home from work and took a shower. And when I sat down, I was watching the rest of the U.S. and Czech Republic. And when I turned it on, the game, I think overtime was like 30 seconds left. So it was right before the shootout that they lost.
I don't... Say what you want about shootouts deciding tournaments in the IIHF and in the international...
They've been doing it for a long time.
And in the international community. But guess what?
They've been doing it forever.
We've won several World Juniors against Canada with shootouts.
2016.
Yeah. Troy Terry?
No, 2017, last year.
Troy Terry, who was actually in this shootout last night.
Did score somehow.
Yeah, but again...
But he got stopped.
I'm sorry. This team lost because they didn't win it in overtime because they weren't moving
the game
because their offense.
The game could have
because Tony Granato thinks that a power play is just about passing it around and not moving.
And then waiting for the lane to open.
It's just bashing your head against the wall.
Yeah.
The game against Slovakia, I was mad.
You were.
Infuriated. Because the offense that Granato drew up for this team, say what you want about the talent. And I know where I've stood about the talent, and thank you, Gary Bettman. But at the same time, them losing against the Czech Republic was not about that.
Yeah.
You can get away with it against Slovakia, what they did. You can't get away with it with teams that were playing well in the tournament. And the Czech Republic were one of the best teams in the prelims.
Yeah.
You got what you deserved.
Yeah. Out of the quarterfinals.
Out of the quarterfinals, no medal round, sayonara.
By the way.
And look, I know that Ilya Kovalchuk showed up and he's that guy that your friend brought to your pickup skate that he works with that is way too good and shouldn't be there.
I love it. That's awesome. Great analogy. keep going.
I feel like every ordinary Joe can cope with Olympic athletes based on what Ilya Kovalchuk's been doing.
Yeah.
But that's not my problem. What? Yeah. My problem is United States hockey continues to get in its own way.
Yeah.
Will Borgen played zero games.
He did not play at all.
Why'd you bring him?
Yeah.
Why'd you bring him?
Yeah. Why'd you bring him?
Dress seven defensemen.
I'll tell you this.
Guess what? If there's an injury to someone, why'd you bring the kid, take him out of college for a couple of weeks if he wasn't going to play a single moment?
I'll tell you this, though. Ryan Sapolsky was really good.
He was. He wasn't really bad. He was not bad at all. Yeah. And
I give him credit.
Yeah, you got to give the guy credit.
Ryan Donato, by the way, was unbelievable.
And, of course, he's a Boston prospect.
Hey, that's what drafting can do. Yes.
Good drafting will do that. I didn't like Jordan Greenway. I think he was way too edgy.
Yeah.
Way too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, you got to use your big... body to your advantage, but I thought he was, I thought he was too angry. I thought he played a little too angry. And that's something I've
never really...
And he's just a kid, you know? I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm not going to blame this roster for its failures in this in this tournament.
I blame USA Hockey for it.
I'm blaming USA Hockey for putting together another pair of dinosaurs that don't know what offense is and think that you can grind and bump your way to a victory.
Yeah.
Especially on Olympic ice when it's a bigger surface and therefore you can have more offensive creativity and opportunity. That game against Slovakia, I saw a power play that the Slovaks were using, and I'm like, that's how you run a power play.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason the United States scored on a power play was because it was a 5-on-3. Donato had the perfect screen, and Wisniewski dropped a bomb. Mm-hmm. But you know what else happened on that play that isn't as pointed out? Terry and Wisniewski are moving.
Yeah.
Shifting between the top of the blue line and above the circle. Those two are cycling between each other, moving around, looking for that shot lane in a 5-on-3. And passing and cycling between the two of them. Why? Because they're moving their feet. I can't tell you how many times or how many tweets I saw yesterday, because I played hockey last night,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't watch the game myself. But I saw the tweet from Ryan about, he's saying, I love how they're not moving their feet in a 4-on-3 power play on Olympic ice. And it was exactly something that I had said to him on the nightcap. It was something that I had brought up, saying that the only thing more mean offensively to goals and hockey than the Sabres is Team USA. And I don't take that back. I don't care that you scored 5 goals against Slovakia. That was the only team you actually had more than 1 goal against. How many goals did they score against Czech Republic?
Score was 3-2.
Okay, so they scored. Okay, so that was one of 2 teams that they scored more than 1 goal against. You got blanked by Russia. You lost to Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, when talent is on an even level, it comes down to coaching. Yeah, I said what I said about Ilya Kovalchuk and the talent problem, but most of the tournament is on an even playing field.
Yeah, it is, especially this year.
Yeah, so
everyone was saying, oh, Russia's going to whip the floor that way because they had all the best players.
Yeah, but at the same time, while you have Ilya Kovalchuk and Pavel Datsyuk, you also got Mikhail Gurgurenko playing on the second power play. So I can't really say.
Yeah, it's funny.
A favorite is a favorite, yes. And they do have the 2 best players, yes. But
even they struggled.
Even they have problems.
Yeah.
They've got to have guys stepping up in depth purposes.
All right, we're gonna have to wrap it up. Wrap
All right,
it up.
Well,
but
don't you tell me to wrap it up. Wait,
I got one more thing. One more quick thing.
Don't knock me off of this real quick. I'm not done.
Well, you know,
because Team USA before the Olympics, it was the World Cup of Hockey,
and then before that, it was the 2014 Winter Olympics,
and before that, 2010 when. You had Ryan Miller backstop your way to a silver.
Ryan Miller was the only reason.
He was the backstopping to the silver medal.
He was the only reason they
won
silver.
You have talent. You have fun. American players. Which is why it's still a major disappointment that the NHL didn't let their players play.
When the game ended, Matt Beauvais tweeted, well, that stinks. And then afterwards I saw a lot of tweets. But I quoted as for what the 5 shooters for U.S. should have been, which was Eichel, Matthews, Gaudreau, Patrick Kane, Phil Kessel.
I might have even, no offense to Eichel, but his shootout record's not exactly what I'd call good.
Yeah, but you still put him in.
If there's other options, I might have thought about it. But those other ones, yes, Johnny Gaudreau would be on there, Phil Kessel, Austin Matthews.
Patrick Kane
is, jeez.
They could have had that. They could have had that.
But USA Hockey gets in its own way.
Yeah.
It gets in its own way, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be the grindy, greasy type. Leave that to bar league hockey, okay? That's the greasy stuff right there.
It is. It's all that greasy stuff there.
Save it for the AHL. That's where you play greasy hockey.
Yeah.
You know what you could do on international ice?
You have fun.
More fun. More speed. Opportunities. Speed.
Skill.
Fun. Skill. Awesome.
Smart.
Who flourished the most in the Olympics for the U.S.? The college kids, mm-hmm. Terry and Donato.
Mm-hmm. Imagine what Will Borken could have done.
Imagine what Casey Mittelstadt could have done.
Yeah.
Imagine Casey Mittelstadt was left off this team, man.
Brady Tkachuk.
Man. That's a shame.
You know what? They should have just fielded the whole... They should have just fielded the World Junior team.
Eh.
The U.S.
Eh.
That would have been at least more fun.
No.
It would have been fun.
I would have kept like the likes of Donato and all those guys, but
oh yeah, absolutely. But include some college.
Get a couple of the dinosaurs out of there.
But imagine you had guys like Casey Mittelstadt, like Brady Tkachuk, Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox.
So you're looking at what the top 4 players
top
from
like
the World
I'm
Junior
just
team?
Naming like yeah, some of them.
Well, some of them probably age wise you wouldn't want to put in there, but But Mittelstadt's eligible. Kachuk would be eligible.
Rasmus Dahlin was on Team Sweden.
He's also played like 4 minutes.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm not necessarily going to blame just the U.S. on this, but
Canada did try to get Cale Makar, and he said no.
Yeah. But again, it's like you said, speed, skill.
Yeah.
Wide open space. Yet the U.S. decides they need to try to dinosaur their way into a dinosaur-like medal round and dinosaur their way into lucking their way in through goaltending. Stop it. You have skill.
Anymore.
You have skilled players.
Use them.
The United States can be a place where you can play skilled hockey. Stop getting in your own way.
Yeah.
I've had enough of it. I'm sick of it. Shove off. And if I see the World Cup of Hockey in 2 years, I'm going to just kick Gary Bettman in the shin.
Well, if you see the World Cup of Hockey in 2 years, but you see a Team USA that has a lot of skill,
question,
then I will be fine.
Minor question.
What's that?
World Cup of Hockey, if it comes back, what takes the place of Team North America?
Do
we have a Canada red and Canada white? Because you could.
It depends on how many teams. I would assume probably want to do eight again. So Canada, U.S., Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland, Russia.
That's Europe.
That was already seven. Canada, U.S., Russia, Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland. Sorry.
Team Europe.
Six. Team Europe.
That's seven, and then U.S. then North America was the eight.
Yeah, so then what do you do? What do you do with that? Do you do...
Because Team Europe was pretty competent.
They made the finals.
Coaching. Yeah. Coaching. Look at that. Coaching.
Oh, coaching.
I should stop being angry. No, I shouldn't.
I don't know what you would do. I don't know. That's the only one.
But you know what? It wouldn't matter because Team USA won't win because they don't know how to coach things or put together competent rosters when you have Justin Abdelkader playing and Brandon Dubinsky on the roster.
Maybe you split Team Europe into two teams. So some countries get put on one team, some countries get put on the other.
I'd rather you do that with Canada. At least
I'd rather do that with Canada too.
At least weaken it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do another Team North America, but it's not an under 23 team. It's just any mix of Canadian and U.S. players.
No, don't touch my American skilled players.
Any ones that don't make U.S.
Don't touch my American skilled players because I know Team USA is going to botch it.
Well, fine. If U.S. botches it, then Eichel and Matthews can be on the Team U.S. Canada team. And we could cheer for that just like
those guys will be the no-brainers at that point.
Exactly.
I'm talking about like the likes of, like, next thing you know, in a couple of years, you're seeing...
Brady Kachuk?
I don't know.
Adam Fox, Quinn Hughes.
You're seeing like Casey Mittelstadt on this, other North America team and...
Not with Jack Eichel?
Not with Jack Eichel.
What if they are on the same team? On that
they will be on the same team.
On the other North America team.
They'll be on the same team.
Oh, they will. They'll be on the Sabres.
Trade deadline coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
By the way, the big upset of the Olympics. Germany beat Sweden.
What?
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, the game was this morning. Finland beat Korea.
That's why you said Russia only. Like, that's why you said he. Like, why you said it in a past tense.
Yeah. Germany beat Sweden.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Good
so
for
now
them.
The final four.
Marco Sturm doing a great job coaching. look at that.
Christian Ehrhoff's on that team.
Oh, yeah, and he took a hit to the face.
So the top four now is, I think it's Canada versus Czech Republic and Germany versus Russia.
Germany, take down the Olympic athletes of Russia.
Do it. That would be awesome.
Marco Sturm doing a great job there.
Yeah.
Christian Ehrhoff, former Sabre. You know, you got to be happy for guys like that.
Yeah.
And again, when the playing field is leveled out, Marco Sturm said something about it, saying, you know what? I'm not scared of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because we have guys that haven't played in the NHL doesn't mean that we need to be worried.
Yeah.
We just play our game. We're all professional athletes.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got a guy who complained about running the score up on getting the score run up on you by Russia, and then proceeds to do the same thing against the Slavics.
Yeah. So one more quick thing. I got another quick thing before we go. With Finland versus South Korea, did you see that moment where the Koreans?
Yes, they bowed to their coach.
That was awesome.
That was and that's where sports
and they gave Finland a game.
And that's where sports transcends.
Yeah,
and really, you know,
the coach was crying.
Yeah,
like that that's what I'm saying. Great moments.
It can define and transcend moments that, you know, make it bigger than sports.
And they, and like I said, they gave Finland a game too. Like that, it was. I mean, the score ended up being like 5-2, but it was a good game.
Yeah. Well, is hockey heavy here again?
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. I mean,
it's
Combine's next week.
It's the football offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. Combine, well, the beginning of the Combine is next week, so
yes.
You got that for preview. You can recap the trade deadline.
We might try to drag Nate Geary in.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure it
see
out.
See what's up.
We'll see what's going on there.
But then we got, you know, we got some, we're going to have some Combine talk. Maybe, we can talk more quarterbacks.
Maybe we bust open the phone line.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Oh, I've got my people. Don't you worry about
that.
We
got people.
You got people.
Yep.
I mean, it was fun talking with Luke Easterling yesterday. #TeamLamar.
#TeamLamar.
John Ledyard is everyone's friend at GR, yep. Along with Mark Schofield.
Yep.
All those guys are super fun to talk to. And if you've ever missed any of their episodes or, you know, moments on like Howard Simon, well, with Howard and Jeremy, or you know, with Chopin Bulldog, or with Sal, or with Ryan, or with Nate, you can find it all on demand here on WGR550.com.
Just like you can find this podcast.
Shameless plugs, Frank. Hey. Shameless.
Shameless plugs are shameless.
Cross promotion.
Yes.
Be a friend.
Check them out.
If your buddy hasn't scored a goal and it bounces off of your butt, give it to them.
Yes.
Be a friend.
Be a teammate.
Be a good buddy.
And then buy him a drink after.
Yes.
Because you're a good teammate and
a good friend. Be good friends to each other.
Yes.
That's my last thing. Other than stay woke, don't get sunk by fake accounts. I'm Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
This has been the Leftovers Podcast on WGR.